It's always better on the upbeat.
Yo, VIP, let's kick it. I am Matt Vest, and I'm your host for this week's episode of On the Beat. Oh my gosh, I can't even talk. For On the Upbeat, and with me as always is Mr. RJ Phoenix.
Hey, my name is RJ Phoenix. I do two things. I talk about Sky and I drink Mountain Dew, and sometimes I actually forget I drank a Mountain Dew. Facebook memory told me I had the holiday Merry mashup Mountain Dew years ago. I have no memory of this. If you would have asked me if I ever had this Mountain Dew, I would have said, no, of course not. That sounds great. Cranberry and pomegranate, that sounds right up my alley and the best soda ever. I regret that I never drank one. Yet Facebook memories reminded me I had one and I forgot. Therefore, I don't remember what I consider probably the greatest Mountain Dew flavor ever.
Wow.
I know, Ghost of Christmas Past.
I know, right? Well, you know what, RJ, this episode is probably going to be a little bit off because I think both of us are having very off days. But let's move on to RJ. How has your week been? How are things going?
Well, the last 2 weeks have been pretty fun because, you know, I did not have internet last week, which is why I was not on the episode Bex from Joystick, which was unfortunate. And so, you know, I did a lot of being frustrated with my internet provider. There was a lot of that in the last 2 weeks. But last weekend, actually, kind of didn't die. Oh, I decorated the house for Christmas.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I got the Christmas tree up. Got the little Santa hats on the tiki dudes over the fireplace. You know, just the little things around the house that, you know, go along with the whole Christmas thing that goes on in this household of me and my wives and the cats. So yeah, it's very, very festively decorated now. Went out for lunch with a bunch of friends. Yeah, all in all, good times, good times. How about you, Matt? How's life been treating you, sir?
You know, this past weekend, we did recently, decorate the house for Christmas time. And, for us, it's a big, we got like 3 or 4 boxes worth of stuff that we have to pull out. And, so we got a lot of, it's all indoor. Because the setup of our house, like we live in a townhome. So like our front is our backyard. Anyway, no one can see it. So we don't even bother decorating outside. All our decorations are inside. And yeah, we do it up. We got Christmas lights on a stair banister. We got stockings hung. We will be getting the tree this week.
Oh, you do a real tree?
Of course, real tree.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. I heard once someone said to me, like, oh, that real trees, they hurt the environment. I go, no, they're good
for the environment.
The thing that actually is bad for the environment
is
because you can have like recycled trees, like there can be, you know, eco-friendly.
But eventually, yeah, a lot of them just still end up in landfills anyway.
Yeah. But the thing most people point out, the reason that's quote unquote bad for the environment is because of the trucks and the diesel fuel and the stuff like that that transport them. And I go, well, but there are ways around that, right? If we just change how we deliver things, then that sort of takes. If we use, you know, electric cars.
All right, calm down with your electric trucks, Mr. Musk. I don't think it's going to happen. They're not going to be self-driving either.
Oh yeah, I actually do not want a self-driving car at all. I don't trust it. Yeah. I mean, maybe like my grandkids will. Maybe they'll all like love self-driving cars, and that's fine for them. But right now, no. Just the stuff that I've seen and heard about, like, nope, not doing that. No. But anyway, so yeah, we decorated for Christmas. We watched. So far, we've only watched one Christmas movie. We watched Mickey's Christmas Carol. That's usually our starter because it's like. Only like 30 minutes, so it's like we decorate and then we watch that is sort of the usual thing. We did go to a sort of Christmas event that was being thrown by a city nearby.
All right.
It looked pretty cool on paper. You know, it was...
one of those, yeah. Yeah, I've been to a bunch of those.
It, you know, advertised. They were calling it... Anyway, they were using the word chili, and then they were giving chili hot dogs. I forget how they worded it. I don't like chili on my hot dog, but so that wasn't so much the big problem. The big problem was all the stuff that they had like train rides, they had a snow sled hill, you know, fake snow. Actually, I think it might have been real snow. It actually kind of...
No.
Yeah, I think that, but then I look at it and go, whatever. So they had a snow hill, and they had a little playing area, but the line for the snow hill was like, you're probably looking like at a 40-minute wait.
Boy.
And for 11-year-olds, that is not... That is way too long. Especially for just to go down once and then have to get back in the line again.
Yeah, it's easier just to drive them out to Big Bear.
Just shove them down a hill, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what you do with kids. You just shove them down the hill. You don't...
Yeah, you put them on a piece of plastic, kick them down the hill.
Yeah.
That's what my parents did to me, and I turned out all right. Right?
Yeah, I think you're fine. Thanks, buddy. So we went... And so it was kind of like... There were cool things, but so many, because it was like free from the city... Everyone was showing up.
Oh, yeah.
And just there were so many people. So the kids played in the sort of makeshift snow area, which, you know, they got to throw some snowballs at each other. So they liked that, but it only lasted for like 30 minutes. And then they didn't want to wait in lines for, you know, bounce houses or train rides and stuff like that. And even like face painting or the art craft thing they had. I saw Santa Claus from a distance. I did see the tree lighting, and that was always fun. I always like a good
tree
lighting.
No, that's always nice. That's always nice.
I did see that. And then we just went to 31 Flavors and got ice cream. So, because nothing says get cold ice cream than the cold of December.
Because it's so cold in Southern California.
I mean, look, all things being relative, yes, when it's 60 degrees outside, yes, for us, when it's normally like 80, it's a little bit, it was a little bit cold. But so we're getting into the holiday spirit, and we are ready to go for Christmas. And like I said, we'll be getting, probably by this time next week, we will have gotten our Christmas tree and have a...
Nice, have it all ornamented it up.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So enough of our holiday spirits and chit chat. Let's get on to some ska news. Here we go. Rude girls and rude boys too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I'm sorry, you might have heard, but yeah, you're about to miss me in ska news. Yes, ska news, where we tell you about the latest releases and all the cool things happening that we can fit into a short segment. And, you know, ska is definitely not slowing down for the holidays. I mean, I feel like in some sense live shows are slowing down, but music is still coming. And of course...
Oh, I don't know. I have too many shows to go to in December here.
There are quite a few. But just some of them I've seen.
I think it might pick up around Southern California because it's easier to tour in the winter months. So I think it picks up December through February. Yeah.
Like let's be in California when it's cold but still warm. All right. So first up, we have a new holiday song from the band Half Past Two. Don't know if you've heard of them, but Half Past Two on December 1st released a new Christmas song called Breakdown for Christmas. It is streaming everywhere now, and let's take a listen to a clip. Here we go.
Eyes of blue, ooh, I got lost in you. It was warm when we met, and you left me out in the cold. All my friends said you would mess with my head. Still, I danced through the flags that were red.
That's Breakdown for Christmas by Half Past Two. and as always, infectious and catchy as hell. I like what their second guitarist slash keyboard player David said about the song. He's like, basically, there's the line there about, like, your promises were as real as Santa Claus, and he put out, like, I don't know what you're talking about, because clearly Santa Claus is real, right? Santa Claus is real, and I thought that was pretty funny, because as everyone knows, Santa Claus is real, and there's nothing you can say or do about it that will change my mind. That, in fact, that was a lesson I had that we were, when we were at line at that Christmas city thing I was telling you about. You know, our kids are old enough. They know the truth about Santa, that he's real. And I had to make sure that they did not, you know, because this event is mostly geared towards younger kids. And I had to remind them, hey, not everyone knows the truth about Santa Claus. So that Santa Claus is real. So just make sure you keep saying that Santa Claus is real. Because you don't want to spoil it for the
other. It's in your best interest to keep believing in Santa Claus for as long as people will buy you
stuff.
Stuff, yeah.
Yes. All right. RJ, what do you have for us?
So, the band Coolidge, who, if you know me, you know I love Coolidge, have re-released their 2021 album, Condition Transmission, on limited edition vinyl. This is in partnership with Jump Up Records. You can get it in blue or clear, or you can be like me and get both. And the album actually features three previously unreleased Coolidge recordings. So, you know, if you want a little more Coolidge in your life, boom, it's on vinyl. So, here you go. Here is one of those secret extra bonus songs. It's called Spinning Room.
Come follow, just let go. You must know, I'm a man with a plan. You're so sweet and discreet. Got steam heat. I'm a man with a plan. This room is spinning around. I can't stand up, I might fall down. This room is spinning around.
Sounds excellent.
Yeah, when Chris sent me that song so that we could check it out for the show, the first thing I said is like, hey, didn't you play this the last time I saw you guys like 6 years ago live? He's like, oh, geez, I don't know.
That's funny.
He said he was not sure if it for the venue and the that was the Jump Up anniversary for 25 years, if that was the proper venue that they would be playing that style of song. He's like, but I could have been outvoted by the rest of the band. The name stuck with me. I think that's where it came from. What else you got for us, Matt? Or do you have anything else for us at all?
I do. I have a Sky News story from Bad Time Records. So on December 1st, Bad Time Records announced the release of This Is New Tone live on vinyl and CD. So what this is basically a live record of the upcoming film, This Is New Tone. So you can pre-order the soundtrack right now on both CD and double vinyl. And so the CD or the CD and vinyl, it's a pre-order right now and it comes out. It should be shipping sometime in February of 2024, so you are going to wait a little bit for it, but if you want it, you got to pre-order it right now at Bad Time Records. And so they also released on streaming three live tracks, We Are the Union, Kill Lincoln, and I cannot remember. Oh, Catbite. That's who it is. So they released songs by those bands, and we're going to listen to Civil Surgery. I keep wanting to mispronounce it, but Civil Surgery from Kill Lincoln, and we're gonna check it out right now. Here we go.
Hey.
right. Awesome. That was Kill Lincoln with Civil Surgery live, and it is off the upcoming double vinyl or CD version of the live album for This Is New Tone, and which I believe in some of the postings about the new live record, they said the film would be coming out in spring of 2024. So you pre-order the live record now, you'll get that in February of 2024, and hopefully by spring of 2024, you will be able to get the documentary, This Is New Tone. So we want to remind everyone, you know, as we step out of Ska News, just remind you that we do have a Patreon. Guess where that is? Patreon.com/OnTheUpbeatSka. Go there. $4 a month gets you at least 2 bonus episodes a month, a private Facebook page, and, of course, discount on merch. And often we give you more than 2 bonus episodes, but we only promise and over-deliver most of the time. All right.
Yeah.
So, RJ, what are we doing this week? What is this week's episode about?
We're talking about our latest release. It is called A Roast Such a Clatter, Ska in Your Stocking. It's our yearly compilation that we do for charity. This was all kicked off by everybody's favorite co-host, Gary, several years ago with his band, Backyard Superheroes. Mm-hmm. And even though Gary could not jump in with the Backyard Superheroes this year, we kept a tradition alive for him, keeping the seat warm, because they should be back in full effect next year.
Yeah, so we're going to give you some behind-the-scenes info about all that. And, yeah, we just want to break it down for you. So, let's start at the beginning.
Let's start at the beginning.
So, like RJ mentioned, Gary had been doing this with Backyard Superheroes. I can't remember how many official Rose Such a Clattered Clatters.
There is one official one before us, I believe.
Okay. So, but
and then they did some releases, just Christmas releases, where still the money went towards Toys for Tots, like the other Rose Such a Clatters do.
So, I think Backyard Superheroes had been putting out holiday songs for a few years, and then they, one year, they turned it in, Gary turned it into a compilation. So, that probably was 2020, I think, that particular first year that they did. And then in 2021, I remember this. I saw a post from Gary. You know, Gary was asking for bands to participate, and I sort of did my thing where I was like, what can we do to help? Like,
yeah,
I don't know, what can we do? And so initially, Gary asked just to help find bands. And so I kind of threw out some requests to people and for 2021s. But that was kind of, no, yeah, for 2021, that's when we sort of, Gary let us sort of turn it into.
That's when it was On the Upbeat Presents. There was such a clatter and we stepped in. Yeah.
And so one of the things that I suggested was like, why don't we do little sketches like in between the songs? And I'm gonna be really obvious. I stole this idea. I completely stole sort of.
Oh, Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
Is it a Kevin and Bean thing?
Yep. And
I knew it. All you Southern Californians are the same.
I just thought it was a really good. I just felt like I wanted to be involved, and if we were gonna do it, I felt like it just made sense for us to do something like that. Hopefully it's a good idea. It seems people like.
Let me tell you about this first year of these sketches, everybody.
Oh yes, let's talk about the first year.
We decided three acts. We're gonna do three. Each one of us is gonna write one, and me and Matt were writing ours around the same time. In fact, I think I got my first draft done slightly before you, and I showed it to you, and you were like, "Ooh, I'm gonna use some of the stuff you wrote, and I'm gonna write it in my first act as setup. So then what you've written will be callback." I'm like, "That's genius, Matt. That's good. That's some good collaborative writing." And at some point, I had the idea of like, "Oh, hey, let's like bookend each side of each sketch with like some 'twas the night before Christmas rhyming," and right. You and Gary are like, "Hey, great, knock yourself out, RJ." So I do that for me and Matt's acts. In fact, I when I'm rewriting mine, I'm rewriting it with the idea of doing that and having the narrator wrap stuff up at the end. And Matt's was just really easy because it's like the intro to everything. And Matt had already established so much. It was really easy. The part came to Gary's part, which was he wanted to improv it, which was fine. And I think it turned out really fun. But also that means there was a lot more heavy lifting for the narrator. And I had to write all this rhyming. I made it tough on myself. Why do I do this, Matt? We got Talina from Bite Me Bambi to do the voiceover as the narrator, and everything turned out great, except for, I think, my acting. But everything else was fantastic about those.
Well, yeah.
I stand beside the rhymes that I wrote for Talina to read.
Yeah, I think overall, yeah, maybe our acting was a bit forced and wooden, whatever. But I think that also adds to the humor of it.
God, I hope so.
And then, so, that particular year, you know... And really, if you're ever wondering, like, how do we, you know, get the bands and stuff like that, it really is just asking. We just ask. And occasionally we do put sort of, like, blanket statements out into the world and say, hey, does anyone want to throw us a song?
And yeah. Do you got a Christmas song coming out? You want to, will you allow it to be part of this?
Yes.
Come at us. Which paid off well this year, too.
Yeah. And we kind of, you know, we generally, we have a few guidelines, and those have sort of, you know, gone through some processes and changes as we rethink and talk to different people about, like, what it takes to be a part, you know, to have a song. We try to make it, and it'll probably even be easier next year. It'll probably be hit next year. It'll probably just turn into, do you got a song? Is it holiday? I think the one stipulation we'll probably stick to going forward. And
I'll tell you my only stipulation. It's got to be new.
Yeah, I think that's our thing. And we kind of want to now keep it to holiday songs.
Because we've been doing that since the 2022 release. And I really think that's the best idea.
I just, you know, because I think the first... Rosa Clatter had songs that were just songs that people were willing to donate, which, you know, not trying to say that's a bad idea. It just...
No, it was fine. I mean, it's all for charity, so they're really, you know...
But I think the idea is if you're going to call it a holiday compilation...
I think with the first one, so many bands also threw in Christmas songs. Like, not all of them did, but a lot of them did, to the fact we're like, this is what it's known for.
Yes.
Like, agreed. When I look back at that first one that we weren't involved in, I'm just like, oh, it's not all holiday. I always think of it as all holiday, and I think other people do too, which is why when we started doing it in 2021, I think I'm like, let's do it all holiday. Let's tell everyone holiday song. Everyone was fine with that. Who donated songs and the year after that and then this year too. So
yeah,
that's good.
I think and then so with the whole new idea is we try to keep it now before we had requested people hold off to releasing it maybe like a week or two after A Rose Such a Clatter, but through some convincing of talking with other people, I personally saw the light and saw, you know what, let's just make it, if you can just hold off on to at least the day
that
the day of that we put it out, you can put it on streaming. And it's hard to ask.
And some bands still even elect to do afterwards, which I think is very kind.
Yes. Though I'm going to say, at least from stuff that we got this year, some of it was just because they didn't finish the song until like pretty close to the deadline. Let's put it this way. You can get a song on Bandcamp quicker than you can get it on streaming.
Oh, so, there's that too. Yeah.
So that's just, you know, and we're grateful for anything. And people, you know, if you
want. I still can't believe we've gotten the Pomps and Coolidge, like two of my very favorite bands. Like, I mean, yeah, those guys are so great. And to this day, like, whoa. You know, and I think a lot of times it's helped us like develop friendships with some of these bands, which I think is great. And then working relationships.
Sure.
To be honest, I love that. Like, I love that, you know, I put out a 7-inch with Stop the Presses. Then we got them to give us a song last year. which they waited a whole year before they put on streaming. That just came out last week, I believe.
Yeah, and I think they just couldn't get it.
I know there was some weird licensing issues, and I think they just ended up holding off.
They couldn't. Well, because like
last year,
I think if I remember last year, they particularly like they were pretty close to the deadline, and then I think with light because it's. I don't know, because I was thinking about that when I was listening to their song recently.
It's an adaption of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I think there's still some rights held, because it's held by a company, not by a person, so it's weird.
Is it held by Coca-Cola? Because that seems like...
Montgomery Wards, if I recall, and whoever owns Montgomery Wards now.
Oh, that's interesting. Didn't know
RJ
that.
Knows stupid stuff.
I don't know, I find that interesting, but, capitalism. So actually this year, I noticed someone else pointed this out to me. Like, I think with the exception of maybe three songs, I think they're all originals.
10 of the 16, or is it 17 songs? 10 songs are original. I think 7 are covers or adaptations. Yeah. So I You're think right. most of them are covers though. Yeah, that was the breakdown. I always keep track of that. When I'm doing the sequencing, that's one of the things to keep track of is like, what's the original? What's a cover? Yeah. And this year, so many more originals, which I absolutely love because there's always room for more new, innovative, fun Christmas songs.
Yeah.
And once again, I always like the originals better.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this year's Rose Such a Clatter. And also, by the way, if you haven't checked it out, you can go to our
Bandcamp. It's on the upbeat.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Check it out there. So let's go. What is one of your favorite original songs that are on here?
Here's the hard part. There's three that I absolutely love, and I don't want to like besmirch anybody of the other bands that wrote original songs that I think are really, really good. The track that leads off the album, Alex Domenech, Must Be Christmas, is one of my favorites. When that came in, I was like, I secretly wanted that to be the first track, but because I've known Alex for a long time through 23, I didn't want to be like, hey, my buddy wrote a song, it should be the first one. I think as soon as Matt suggested that, I was like, you're absolutely right, pal. That should be the first song. So I didn't want to push that too hard.
Yeah.
And then I really like the Coolidge song because, Coolidge fanboy. So that's I'm so happy that's on there. And then the Classy Rex, Have a Lousy Christmas. I think that's the one that's been stuck in my head the most. It's funny, Little Blue. But the music on it is just so, I love it. I love those three songs. Like I said, the Guilty Party song is rad, Unsustainable song, rad as hell. It's an embarrassment of riches this year, I believe. And this year, I was involved a little bit more on the band side than I have in the past.
It's true. Yeah.
So that was fun for me.
I think one of my favorite originals definitely is Must Be Christmas. And the reason I loved it so much for the beginning is because it is generally a happy tune. And that, please don't take that as slight against anyone who writes sort of like a bitter, unhappy Christmas.
Oh, No, I know what you mean. It's got that bounce to it. It's got that merriment. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just start, it's like a good mood song. It starts, mm-hmm. and I feel like that works. Because generally I think that's our personality, to be lighthearted and fun. So mm-hmm. I think it fits us. But I also think it also, it just starts, it started off sounding like Christmas. We need to hear more from Alex because.
He's got quite a discography and, maybe I can, get him to come on the show sometime next year.
Yeah. And because I really liked it, and then I think the guilty parties, or who was the guilty pleasures for a little bit.
I want to say I put out my spreadsheet that said the guilty pleasures. Said, "Hey Matt, check this over, make sure I didn't misspell anything." And Matt said, "Everything looks fine." I caught it later when I downloaded it and paid for it. I paid for it as soon as I put it up. I bought my own copy because it all goes to charity. I downloaded it later in the morning, and that's when I realized it and went in and updated the metadata. But by that time, members of the Guilty Parties had downloaded it. So once they put it in their iTunes, they saw their band name spelled wrong. And it was like, no, 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 it's right now. It literally got fixed a half hour after they bought it.
Yes, I that's how I noticed it. I was putting it on my phone, and I'm like... But here's the thing. I know for a fact that when I had written, because I keep a lot of notes on my phone, and when I had wrote the Guilty Parties, I know at least once it had changed it to Guilty Pleasures.
Oh, I'm just an idiot, so.
Yeah. Well, because if you think, because like autocorrect and stuff works very heavily with how often word follows a word. So yeah. Guilty Pleasure is very much... you know, usually connected with the word guilty, right?
Yeah.
So, it makes sense, but, unfortunately, also, one band did not have a band name. I think that was, where is it? Oh, Holiday, 2003.
No, that's the name of that song. They're very clear. The name of the song is Holiday.
But they didn't have a band name originally.
The Threat Level Burgundy has always had a band name.
I mean, like in real life they do, but I guarantee on my phone they do not.
Oh, from the track they sent and you downloaded?
Yeah, on...
Oh, yeah, the metadata on Bandcamp. Yep. Yeah, RJ made another mistake.
So
Listen, RJ was up until 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And Thursday, the Friday morning.
So, when we're going to talk about that in a little bit to talk about why you were up so late. But also, I think some other good original songs on here was, I think, Random Festive Words by the Banksys.
Oh, it's Banksys. Yeah, that was a fun one. That Lab Rats song.
Oh,
dude,
yes.
We need more from Scott Mailman. I think this is the first song out of the Lab Rats project. And you hit the ground running. Yep. And you couldn't have done it on a better compilation.
So, gosh. Why can't I think of his name? His actual... Anyway, the Ska Mailman, if you know him on TikTok,
yeah.
Ska Mailman, he actually plays keyboards for Bet on Red.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And so the Lab Rats is his solo / side project. And yeah, he's a very nice gentleman. I have played a few of clips from his like TikToks and stuff at the end of the episodes.
Oh, no. all right. It's cool, just cool, like cool.
Very. See, now I know RJ does not listen because he does not listen to those.
No, I don't. I absolutely don't. I was that supposed to be a secret, Matt? I don't listen.
Oh yeah, I don't listen either unless I'm not on the episode. That's the only time. Yeah, I don't think anyone would expect us to listen to the episodes.
I don't need to go back and hear myself be a moron. I experienced that in real time.
But yeah, so I also really liked, and I know it was a very different track, but I kind of liked it. It was Peace on Earth. I thought that was
The Tom Neversfield. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah. Was, I thought.
And I like always, Urban Crater comes with something that gets stuck in my head like crazy. So their track Mary Chrysler and Happy Honda Days. You guys in Urban Crater, Josh.
Yeah,
you know what you're doing. I don't know why you guys aren't huge, because you write good, memorable, goofy little fun songs, and that there's it's awesome. And you guys are rad.
So the first year, 2021, when we did it, we did sketches that were all a connected story. And then for 2022,
we thought, let's take it easy on old RJ.
Yes, we did something that was a lot simpler, which we all sort of individually recorded a fictional letter to Santa.
And there's a secret about my letter to Santa. And if anybody ever discovers it and writes me, I will give you a prize. I swear to goodness I will.
Even I don't know what that secret is.
Matt does not know at all. And I'm never telling him either.
I'm going to have to listen to it now just over and over and see if I can figure it out.
Go for it, buddy. The lyrics are even up on the sheet for that My Letter from Santa, you can click on lyrics for on Bandcamp.
Oh, neat. I'll check that out.
Yep.
So listeners, go check that out and see if you get a prize from RJ. I
mean, Easter egg hunt from last Christmas.
So this year we basically did a similar idea.
Yeah.
And it was just about sharing your favorite holiday memory. Obviously, myself and Gary went the comedic route, non-serious. Oh,
and Karen, too.
Oh, yes, and Karen, the funny story about Karen's was...
Was she planning to do that all along, and then she found out what you were doing, and then added that in?
So and I said, hey, when I asked her, like, hey, would you do this? Her initial response was... that she was gonna do that speech from Gremlins.
Yeah.
And I still, by the way, if anyone doesn't know, because I feel like that, even though that's a very popular known movie, I feel like...
People forget about that scene all the time.
Yes. And so Karen's holiday memory is actually pulled from the movie Gremlins, in which the lead female character tells... for her character, a very real story.
About, a horrible Christmas memory, yeah.
Yes. So Karen, yeah. So Karen, when she said she was going to do that, but then I told her my idea, that I was going to already do the whole...
Do various Christmas movies, yeah.
And she's like, oh man, I'll do something else. And I said, no, actually, the original plan was for me to jump in on Karen's story.
Oh, really?
And to be the person going... hey, don't do that. But she, you know, conflict with her schedule, and she recorded it the way she did. And I think
thank you for not making me edit anything there. That was
the
best.
if we had done it, we would have done it like on the same.
Oh, recording. Together, yeah.
Together, I would have sat there and waited for my cue. But yeah, I wouldn't have made you sort of edit me in. but no, Karen's was great, and I think her delivery clearly. If anyone doesn't know, Karen is one of her goals in life is to be a professional actress. And so that's what she's striving for. And I clearly,
she's very funny.
Clearly the best actor on the, on the upbeat,
A
Rose Such a Clatter stuff. So, a lot of fun.
And then Gary's was kind of a take on A Christmas Story, only getting a saxophone instead of a Red Ryder BB gun. Yes. And even at 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Nice. It didn't seem too long.
No,
I don't know.
No.
Gary knows how to spin a yarn really well.
Yes, he does. He very much does. And it was very hilarious. And then, so let's, that leads us to yours.
Then we get to mine.
And I'm going to be honest with you and listeners right now. When I, RJ kept everything a secret. All his stuff that he records on his own. He does not tell me his thoughts. I got little clues.
I don't
clues
think you
we...
heard my... You didn't even hear my letter from Santa until like I put it up, I believe.
Correct.
Last year, yeah.
Correct. But this year I got little clues that you were doing something involving your whole family. You were willing to record stuff with them. So I did have a little clue, and I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
And I did say it's a real memory. I wasn't going the joke route. Not because the rest of you did, but as soon as I think the idea of Christmas memories was floated, I'm like, oh, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, and so, but I'm going to tell you my real reaction when I finally saw
the runtime.
The runtime. I was like, motherfucker. Fucker. Like, I tell everyone, let's keep it at like 2 minutes. And, you know, Gary
you
went
didn't
over.
Say that this year.
That's true. I did not make that clear.
You didn't say that for the letters last year.
And I part of me was like, you know what? It's probably going to be great. Whatever it is.
Oh, well, I hope so.
It's going to be great. Because, like, I know you well enough to know that you don't waste your own time.
Yes.
So I figured it's probably going to be entertaining, and it sure as hell was. So give us all, you know, whatever background.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, first of all, I always I think that people who download these things probably listen to the skits and our contributions maybe once, maybe twice at most. Yeah. They're there for the songs. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, if we're going to do this, we're going to go all out. So that's why when the scope started ballooning and I thought the runtime would be getting bigger, I was like, whatever, everyone's gonna listen to it once, that's gonna be it.
Yeah.
And that's when usually we like to end with a song, but I made the executive decision. The memory is just going last. I can't make a band follow any of this at all.
And agreed. Had you asked that, I would have said, no, that makes the most sense.
Yeah. I think just at one point, I'm just like, my memory is just last. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's a true story involving my family. I thought it would be funny to get my family involved and see if they what they remember of this memory. And it just kept building. I'm actually from a large family. If you listen to it, I do mention my grandfather had 10 kids. 9 of the 10 kids got married. All the ones that got married had at least one kid, average about 3. And we would hang out every month. So incredibly close-knit, big family, still big to this day, because no matter how many of us, you know, left the area, my cousins are getting married and having kids. So the amount of people at Grandma and Grandpa's old house, because the house is still in the family, it's still pretty sizable. Anyway, so I didn't manage to get even half of them on this thing, and there's still way too many people. I do want to give a special shout out to my cousin Kathleen, who did call in from the UK. Just to give like a one line.
maybe we need to release like a bonus. Maybe we'll release it slowly during the holiday season, like after episodes, like a extended remix.
I've thought about doing an extended version because I did have a whole big section with my cousin Amanda, and that the audio has just ended up being unusable in the end. And there was people who said things that would have followed that, and it would have been extra probably 5 minutes. So at the end, I'm just like, yeah, you know, maybe we didn't need to have a 20-minute episode, a 20-minute memory.
So it comes up like a sort of like an NPR radio show. That's how
it's. Yeah. So
how did that idea come together?
Well, originally, so I don't know how familiar you are with ME330. They did a Christmas album. Last song on it is it's a traditional poem. But they had Gary read it, and it's called Gary's Down Home Christmas. And it's good, and it's lovely. And originally when I wrote this, it was just going to be me like telling this story, and it's going to be much shorter. Once I decided I'm going to get my family involved, it really kind of changed to kind of like a This American Life kind of story.
Yeah.
And also one of my favorite things from Christmas always is leaving grandma's house or on the way to grandma's house, getting in the car, and my dad would like scan the radio stations till he found the Christmas station. And so that's why it starts off with like a radio scanner scanning, and it goes through 5 different songs. The first two are the Pomps, because I still can't believe we got the Pomps on our show last the comp last year. Then Stop the Presses, because I love me some Allie and Danny. Then it goes to Holophonics song, because we use the Holophonics background music in our first year for all the skits with Anti-Claws. Then it goes to a song by Bite Me Bambi, because that was in honor of Talina doing all the narration. Right. And then it ends with a Backyard Superhero song. And this is all like 3 minute clip, 3 second clips buried under noise and frequency scan. And so Backyard Superheroes, because there needs to be some Backyard rep on this release, because, you know, they kick this all off. And before it comes into a voice announcer saying you're listening to this Midwestern public radio station. And then we have an announcer saying, welcome to the Ska American Life, because I hate ska puns, but I had to. And the two voices are Mike and Michi from Mega Infinity, because when I did the interview with them, I really fell in love with those two as people. And I thought, you know, this could be cool. This could be fun. Like, I could bother other people, but let's just see what they say. And right away they got back to me as like, we'll have that to you tonight. Like, don't they, like, originally like, could you do this by tomorrow-ish? Like, you'll have it tonight. And they did. I got it. No notes. I was just like, it's perfect.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then, well, I was originally going to talk to my family while my internet was out. And obviously I couldn't do that and record them over Zoom because of the internet being out. So this was a mad scramble on Thursday to talk to as many of them as I could, cut up the sound bites, edit it together, drop in the music. So yeah, that's how that kind of all came about. Now the frequency tuning, I did that actually after I edited your memory together, Matt, and I did that on Monday night. Which is why Matt's background music is the same background music he had on last year's Letter to Santa, because I couldn't go download any new music. I did Karen's the next night, and that's when I also had Michi and Mike's audio, so I was able to put that together and kind of marry them to with the scanning frequency. Wednesday, it was all just Gary, all just the Tiz memory and getting that golden. And then Thursday, I was talking to family, getting that together. I was on my lunch break when I decided this is going on so long and I'm not sure how funny it is. And the only thing that reminds me of long and unfunny is Saturday Night Live skits. So knowing this was only going to be the only time it could be loud in the house without waking up my wife, because I do most of my editing at night, that's when I did the ending with the Saturday Night Live closing music.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah, so that's why that's as manic as I'm going to be. And then, because for the NPR part, while I'm telling the story, I can be quiet. I can just talk, because that's right. How it is. That's the style. So I knew I was going to do that later. So I was up editing that all together. And yeah, that took me to about 1:30 in the morning.
That's great. I think it turned out great. And yeah, I do realize that maybe people only listen to it once. And who knows, maybe down the road they'll listen to it again. But I think it's a funny story in and of itself, and I think
it's a fun and 100% true story. The reason I got my family involved at all is because I was fact-checking to make sure I was remembering things right. Yeah. And they were coming up with stuff, and I'm like, okay, we just need to get a bunch of us whenever we can on the Zoom and record it.
Yeah, it made the most sense. We sort of talked about like some of our favorite original songs, but I do want to mention there are some good covers on it. My personal favorite on this album, because it slaps so hard. You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch by Millington. Oh my goodness. Like, I've heard that song so many different ways, so many different versions of it, but to be so just like enthralled with just how they do it, how they change it up from punk to ska to a little bit of emo thrown in there, and it was great. And that track will be on streaming, I think they said, on December 8th,
next Friday.
Yeah. So
so yesterday, or this coming Friday
whatever, December 8th, however, who cares.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, one of my least favorite Christmas songs in the world. One of my actual least favorite song is that fucking Paul McCartney.
strong feelings. There's a decent ska version of it, but it's also all instrumental, and I think that helps.
Yeah. So my other least favorite ska song, or no, my least favorite holiday song is that Paul McCartney Christmas song, but Santa Baby is up there too. Like, I just like, I'm a kid at heart when it comes to like Christmas and stuff. So just the idea of Santa being a sugar daddy is just weird. Just weird to me. So, but the, Andy B in the World did a great cover of it, and it's super awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
And, it's super ska punk. So, check it all out. Do you, any other favorite covers that you wanted to mention?
No, those are my two favorites.
Yeah. I also
I had to look up the Jeff Ravston cover to see if that was a cover. And I was pleasantly surprised to find Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton did this. Yes. Christmas song,
yeah,
together.
It's a Gwen Stefani cover. It's a cover of a Gwen Stefani song. You Make It Feel Like Christmas. I thought that was a good song. I think Karen sounds great on it.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah. It's super fun. And, I'm very proud. You know, I don't think there will be a year that I'm not proud of what we get to do with this. And,
yeah.
All the money goes to Toys for Tots. And, I'm very proud of these records that we get to make and the silliness, and hopefully we're bringing you some amount of joy. And hopefully, whether you're super into Christmas and the holiday season, or you're, hopefully, or you just want to grunt and be mad and shake your fist at the world, hopefully this
Hey, there's songs for that on this comp.
Yeah, hopefully there's something. Hopefully there's something for every mood. And sometimes you go through the whole the gambit of feelings the entire holiday season, from wanting to shake your fist at everything and wanting to hug everything. Hopefully, we have something for you. So we're gonna move on. Before we head out, we do have ska picks of the week. My ska pick of the week is from the Classy Rex, their recently released song called The Monster. And we're going to take a listen to it right now. Here we go. Classy Rex with their new song, The Monster. And yeah, it's a fun track, danceable, singable, all my favorite things. RJ, tell us about your ska pick.
Speaking of danceable and singable, I decided to go with Monkey Bicycle because this song is just a boatload of fun. Cue it up, Maddie.
So catchy and danceable that right? I let it go longer because I was dancing and bouncing to it. And well, listeners, thank you for sticking around through another exciting episode of On the Upbeat. We appreciate you. And of course, you can find us, you know, on the Twitter/X, the Instagrams, the Facebook, all over the place. And we hope that you enjoy our episodes. And until next time, the thing you should do is what, RJ?
Oh, keep listening to ska, right? Right, yeah, keep listening to ska.
You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.